Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And how in the hell do you go two innings with a runner on second and nobody out and not score? How do you do it?
Well, eventually they got a run.
Well, that was the third inning.
Well, yeah, but third. It just takes time sometimes.
No, it doesn't take time. It takes just a clutch hit. It takes a bunt, like two bunts. Two bunts scores two runs. That's
John's,
all it takes.
John's referring to an extra inning loss. Astros lose 4-3. They can't push home a run. And to be fair, the Astros prevented a run for the first two innings. He did. And the comments on Twitter when he was coming in were not positive.
Oh,
they didn't seem to have a lot of positivity surrounding Brian Abreu, but he did a nice job. Yeah, he did a nice job.
How'd that work out for those people?
And Eric Geddy was solid.
Yeah.
Solid. Had his strikeout count went back up, and you know, 6 2/3, gave up 7 hits. I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, it answered questions about, he had a uh-oh start last game, but it was nice to see him.
Uh-oh start to this one with two runs in two innings.
Right,
and a bomb by Geloff that was, holy crap.
That was a shot. But he settled down and looked good and didn't let it rattle him. So
no.
I was happy to see that.
Listen, Jeremy got robbed. You know, they could have won that game. Maybe should have won that game. He comes up with a diving catch in right field, and Jeremy gets ripped off. That was a shame. But, man, Kyle Tucker. Whew, I don't know. I guess you throw him right back in at the three hole. But, man, you don't want a hole like that in your three hole. Holy crap. He was overmatched last night.
There's nothing you can do but play him. I mean, it's just missed so much baseball. You have to eventually play him unless you want to sit him for the season. Like, what are you going to do? Not play him and just prolong the rust?
No, but do you play him and bat him third?
Yeah.
I mean,
you're going
to throw him right back into that?
Yeah, it's just who he is. I mean, Joe Espada. Yeah, they're going to. He could move him. He could move him a little bit. Would you bat him earlier?
No, I would bat him 5 or 6. You know, you've been going along. You had your great stretch of baseball with Altuve, Alvarez, Bregman, Diaz, Pena. That was your top five that whole time, in some order. That whole time that Tucker was out, it's too much to expect of him missing all of that time. All of a sudden, coming in, and it is the A's. And now, listen, the A's have been playing much better. The A's are better than their. Then you know they're the stinkiest team.
But they're not good, and the Astros lose against not good teams. Let's just face it. Well, White Sox got to win against them. The A's aren't a good team. The A's can beat them. I mean, it's just how it is.
That's how it is. That's just how it is. I mean, but the A's aren't abysmal like the White Sox. They're not abysmal, okay. And they've gone on runs this season. They've gone on some nice runs this season. So. Listen, it's not an awful team. The Astros always have trouble with them, though. They always have trouble with them.
Kyle Tucker stuff is not about where he's hitting in the lineup, because it's, you know, whether he's sixth, and I know what you're saying, you're not trying to say he'd be better there. You're just trying to say, why put him in a position that's – but I would argue the six hole or the five holes are run is a, is just as big a run-producing position because of the guy who's in front of you.
Three-hole is usually your best hitter, though.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but the reality is he's going to face pitchers, whether he's hitting ninth or hitting first or hitting third, it doesn't matter. He's still got to face live pitching and get used to it no matter where he's hitting the lineup. And I think Astros, in, you look at how many RBIs Yuli used to get. I mean, it's a run-producing. Look at the guys in front of you. They can hit. Alex Bregman can hit. Yordan can hit. If Diaz is ahead of you, Diaz can hit. These are all guys who can really hit. And you're going to have opportunities with runners in scoring positions. So you can't really avoid it with Kyle Tucker. I just think you have to let him – you're throwing him in the water and you're letting him learn to swim again. And that's – I mean, 3 months being out, man, that's a lot of rust accumulates. You've got to shake it off.
Yeah.
Where were you last night?
I was at the Hollywood Bowl. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, I know what the Hollywood Bowl is.
Well, the Hollywood Bowl is maybe the nicest. Well, I was at Red. I've been in Red Rocks in Colorado. That's the nicest.
Red Rocks isn't nice. It's cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's the coolest venue I've ever been to. This is right there. The Hollywood Bowl is really, really cool. It's a giant concert facility. I mean, not giant. It's 15,000 people or so, but it's outdoors. Just beautiful. And I saw a show last night.
It was pathetic. You're watching like a symphony or something like that.
Beethoven's Ninth.
I mean, it's not like you liked it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Beethoven's you didn't Ninth? Like Beethoven.
Culture.
You didn't
culture.
Like. You don't like culture. You could have been watching Trump and Kamala Harris yell at each other.
I was for a while.
You really screwed up.
And then what would you rather listen to, Beethoven's Ninth or that? Because it was the same crap.
Well,
over
I did
over.
Find myself laughing out loud several times last night. It was entertaining. I don't. Presidential debates probably shouldn't be entertaining. They should usually be boring.
Yeah.
But some things were said, and I just
go wake up, Joe.
I just go
wake up, Joe.
I just laughed like they're trans. She's giving. She's doing surgeries on trans. Illegal aliens in prison. What? He just threw three things together. Like, I've never heard that one. That is the newest thing I've ever heard, ever. Yeah, I will admit, I didn't laugh at a lot of Kamala's stuff. Wasn't really, like, I didn't, she wasn't trying to, she was trying to bait him. She did, and they even acknowledged that after they said, boy, she was trying to lay the bait out there. And he chomped on some bait yesterday. She was trying to make him mad, see if he could fly off the handle. It was interesting. It was like watching Spagnuolo and you know, and a quarterback go back and forth. But I just didn't think that. Yeah, it had some funny moments.
It had some funny.
It had some funny moments.
But it's just the same stuff.
Yeah, it's not like I didn't. I knew what I was going to get.
Yeah.
It's not like I didn't know what I was going to get, but. I still might rather do that than go see a symphony. And I used to be involved
in music. It was pretty cool, though. That's the first one I've ever seen. It was pretty cool.
Would you do it on your own, like if it were you and Yanni and the fellas? No, of course you wouldn't.
My cousins are in town, and that was their last night. And my cousin David is a doctor, and he's a big symphony and opera fan. So we went. He's got, you know, the Granados have culture. Okay,
some do.
Yeah. And so we said, let's go. And, you know, he wanted to go see the L.A. Symphony. Dudamel was the conductor.
Yeah, he's
good.
Who's
a big star.
Yeah,
and,
Joey Dudamel.
They call him the dude.
The dude.
Yeah. Well, those of us in the symphony game, that's what we call him.
Sure.
The dude.
Sure.
And
Dell's working right now, or he might be commenting. This is, I know that there are people right now who are listening, who are the rabid listeners. And it hurts their heart to hear you say things like, I went to a symphony.
No, this is not
what they want from you. This is not.
Don't worry. We brought in a couple of bottles, four bottles of wine.
Coors Light? No.
No, they didn't. No.
You said you brought in a couple of bottles of wine is hurting their heart, too. They want you to bring in your Coors Light, throw things at the people.
No.
This is not J6 Johnny. This is Johnny Wood.
And not even go to the bathroom, right?
That's what
yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Now we're cooking with gas.
No. That's not what we do. We're civilized, and we went and we had a very nice night. You know, you bring food and you bring – it's a wonderful place to go watch an event. So we went and watched, and, man, they were really, really good. They were really good. So if you where was the best place you ever saw Beethoven's Ninth?
Maybe Lamar Consolidated High School auditorium. Ooh. Probably.
Okay.
Would be the best for Beethoven's Ninth. But I don't think they played Beethoven's Ninth, actually, so I'm not sure I have. Now, Houston Symphony, I almost went one time.
You did?
And I know choral music. I know symphony music. I have it, but I just don't care about seeing it for some reason. I might like it if I saw it, but...
I went, and I did it once, and that was enough. Now, if you ask me to go again, I probably...
That's what not I my thought. Deal. That's what not, I thought. Let's quit pretending like you were enjoying everything.
I did. It was fun. It was different. It was nice. It was nice.
He texts us, "What are you guys doing?" And Raheel was just so upset in our group text called Glory Boys. Like, you should be, if you're a real one, you'd be here doing presidential memes and stuff. You wouldn't be doing symphony stuff.
No, I don't. I stay out of the politics of it, okay? I'm staying out of the politics. You never see me. I've never commented on it.
You'll get your ass kicked in L.A.
What? What are you talking about? I mean, now, it's years ago.
He didn't live in Orange County.
But there's a famous picture of you with your thumbs up. With a big bright red hat on.
Somebody gave me a hat and I put
and
it on.
And you wore it and took a picture. You're like, yeah. Look at me. Look at me with my hat on.
Somebody gave me a hat and so I put it on. What?
And yay. Posed. And you're like, you weren't like Lance when he had his ill fitting cowboy hat on, Dallas Cowboys hat on. You were like, yeah, look at me in my hat.
You know how many times I wore that hat that time.
I bet, but still, the picture lives on.
That time. Hey, we're burying the lead here. We got an Italian run where we are going to win the World Cup now because we have real leadership at the top. I mean, does it get any better than Mauricio Pochettino?
Well, he identifies as an Argentinian.
Yeah, he's an Argentinian.
Guess what? Guess
well, Dubon from. Is also French.
Guess what? Yeah, he's French.
He identifies as Venezuelan, but...
I don't think it's Venezuelan.
No, that's right. He's Honduran,
he's Honduran,
right? Yeah, he's Honduran.
Learn I always to, like meet the
to,
team.
Yeah, I always like to call him Venezuelan. He's a Honduran, but he's kind of French.
We all know where Pochettino's from, okay?
So well, we may know where his ancestors are
his
from.
His people.
Oh, really? Like Messi? Like Lionel Messi?
I mean,
if you say it like that, you think it's Italian, but he's not. They're Argentinian. More than likely, they're from Germany, if you really want to know the truth.
Pochettino? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds
they
real
change
German.
The names to get away from Germany.
Pochettino.
No, you never heard of changing last names?
No, his family is of Italian descent. But,
thank you.
Boo.
Thank you.
But you know why they might have wound up in Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a beautiful place to go.
No, because of the Mussolinis.
No.
That's why. Yeah, well, your people were running for cover also after Mussolini and his wife were slaughtered in the streets for their shenanigans.
Just because your people, they ran from all of the...
My people ran away from
atrocities
everything.
To Kansas. Okay?
No, they left. Yeah. Well, they were World War One. They were leaving before World War One. They saw it bubbling up and they're like, all right, we're out of here.
There's more.
The Zerlines were here well before the 40s.
Okay. That's all. Yeah.
We were in the farms of Kansas because we were like, nope, not serving in this war.
Some people said,
truth be told,
what?
The Zerlines were getting away from war.
They said, here's what they said. Okay, Argentina, nah, Kansas. That sounds like a great place to go and hide.
Absolutely. Growing.
Not hide from their atrocities.
Atrocities of what, the 1800s?
They were getting out.
Give me a break.
They're looking for a better opportunity.
Yeah. They wanted to get out
in Kansas,
in the land of opportunity.
Yeah, farming.
It's
maybe you
right
didn't
up
hear.
Until Kansas.
Maybe you didn't hear. Kansas has a lot of farmland. What were they doing? You think there were Instagram influencers in the early 1900s? People putting their ass to the camera, where every picture has your ass out, but you turn your head and you look in the camera. I know what you're doing. This is an ass shot, okay, influencer. This is all it is. Stop acting like this is somehow a fashion shot. This is a thirst trap ass shot, and we didn't have that in Kansas. Grandma Zerline didn't do that.
Don't.
She was busy with turnips and green beans and potatoes and farming, and she ripped the head off of a chicken because she was a grown-ass woman. That's what the farm ladies did. Head off the chicken, flop around, bleed out, take the feathers off, boom, dinner. That woman did way more than any punk-ass influencer could do.
Wait a minute, where did you come up with it? What are you talking about, influencers? Who said
farming,
that?
Because you're like, well, oh, yeah, they settled in Kansas. That's farmland.
Yeah.
People were farming back in the 1800s.
Yeah,
what do you think they were doing?
What a horrible, horrible life. They decided that it was better to farm in Kansas.
That was like 60% of the U.S. was farming, agricultural.
It's just a
what
terrible.
Do you think they were doing? Radio shows?
You think the Italians think they were hosting farmland? No,
was there a podcast?
To,
no, you just went and ran rackets and ran numbers and strong-armed small businesses
for years. Yeah.
That's what you did. You strong-armed other Italians.
That's right. That's right. That's what we did. That's right. It's much better than
you need
chopping off the head of a chicken.
They knock on the shop door. You need protection. From who?
From us.
From us.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, hire us to protect you from us.
Exactly. That's a great way to make a
living. It does feel like it does feel like some of the terrorist groups who now run countries have kind of followed the Italian playbook. Like, you know, nothing from nothing, but maybe we run everything and we protect you from, you know,
us.
Anything happening to you. Okay.
Hey, we got something some serious talk. Are the Texans regretting a move that they made this offseason? We'll do that on the other side.
After
right
one
here.
Week?
On
ESPN, he asked a question.
97.5 and 92.5. Right now I'm talking about my bookie. I'm talking about your ability to get in, okay? You're going to get in, and you're going to double your money immediately. When you put in promo code BET975, they will double your initial deposit. This is going on right now at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Also, free bets on Thursday, okay? You make the bet, you win, they pay you. You don't, we'll forget about it. Forget about it. That's what happens at MyBookie. That doesn't happen everywhere. And then you got MyBookie Plus, where the more you play, you move up in tiers, and then you get all kinds of great bonuses and great stuff. Great giveaways and all kinds of stuff that they're doing there. So this is another reason that you get there. Live casino gambling. You can play the lotto. You horse racing if you're a player there. This is going on every single day at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. It's the football season. It's time to get on board. Mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance, you made note of this earlier this week. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. Aziz did not play well. He did not play well.
Nope.
And I want to listen. We were singing the praises last year of Blake Cashman. Blake Cashman played great. We saw Blake Cashman covering wide receivers down the field. We saw him running with wide receivers down the field.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance that this is – and Blake Cashman had a really good game in his debut with the Vikings this week. He according to Pro Football Focus anyway, he was up in the near 80, while Aziz was about a 47 this week. And I don't – you know what? Pro Football Focus, whatever. We saw with our human eyes that Aziz wasn't great. He's not. He wasn't. He didn't play. He didn't have a good game. This could turn out to be a case of you're looking, you know, over at the Joneses over there and seeing that maybe the grass is greener over there. In fact, it's not. When in fact, right in front of your face, Blake Cashman played really, really well last year. And you just chose to ignore that and go get somebody that you were familiar with from San Francisco.
Well, I think they wanted a guy to play inside, and Blake is more of, you know, a weak side linebacker. Or I mean, Aziz had a 1-year stint with Tennessee. Then he comes over to the Texans. It's a D'Amico thing. D'Amico knows him. D'Amico's comfortable with him. D'Amico likes his attitude. He's a real tough guy. And he's a physical guy. He's really serious. I just didn't think he did a very good job at getting on top of the blocks before they got on top of him. And that's, you know, sometimes that happens. That can be, you know, he just needs to play more decisively. It's first game of the year. We'll see what happens. I know that Blake, and that's not to, I'm not ready to say that, well, I mean, Blake Cashman played good football last year.
He played really good football.
I do think that we won't really notice it as much when Christian Harris comes back. We won't be, I think it'll help. I think it'll help Aziz because he'll have another guy who can run around and make plays and play proactively and aggressively downhill. The problem with 200-200 is that he doesn't have great sideline-to-sideline speed, and if he takes bad angles, he could end up, you know, if he takes an aggressive angle and somebody just runs right, just cuts off his angle, he's in real trouble because I don't think he'll give up some plays. So I think linebacker is going to be a little bit of an issue for the Texans for the first few weeks and maybe even up the middle. The stats didn't look bad going up against Jonathan Taylor, but I also felt like the Colts could have really run a lot behind Quentin Nelson at left guard. I thought if they really wanted to, you know, dig in there, and had they done that, they might have had better possession, time of possession, but they also would have missed out on some touchdowns. Even though, did you see the video of all the times A.D. Mitchell got behind the Texans?
Yeah.
Three times.
Yeah.
Bad. Basic out-and-up stuffs against zone. Like, bad, bad, bad. It was concerning. And every time, it was overthrown by Anthony Richardson. Every time. Well, I take it back. Two of them were overthrows where he got by him. One of them was on the sideline. But it was a concern to me that Alec Pierce twice and A.D. Mitchell once were behind the Texans' corners. I mean, behind them. So that's not great. That can't happen. They tried to play some. I don't know. We'll see how the Texans handle this. But it was not a great game for Stingley either. Stingley did not have a great game.
No, he was somebody. They put out. I don't know why he wasn't discredited with the touchdown to Alex Pierce because I know Jimmy Ward was there, but it was Stingley that was trailing the play. He was the one, and if he was running with his man, then Pierce wouldn't have caught that first long pass. But it was double coverage, and he beat both of those guys, and that's unfortunate. Yeah, he had way too many chances on a deep ball. A better quarterback makes you pay for that. I just hate it. But Al-Shaair gave me a Denzel Perryman kind of feet vibe the other day, and I just we can't have that.
Mm.
No, honestly,
that's not bad. When you say that, I'm like, huh? That's not.
I mean,
actually bad. Kind of a thumper between the tackles, and yeah, they're physical. I think Perryman's a little bigger than. I didn't love. He's better than I had him, you know, coming out. But I remember. I don't think I loved Al-Shaair coming out of college when I wrote him up.
Oh, no.
I don't remember.
Oh, he's probably got that tacked.
Yeah, no, he's probably got a tattoo of something I said on here.
Right.
My grade. I remember.
I hope he does so that it'll motivate him to play a little bit better.
Yeah. This is not a great.
What did you write about him?
I don't want to tell the show.
No.
Productive tackler with good athletic ability and pursuit speed. Who's missing the desired instincts and take-on technique expected of an inside linebacker. And the take-on technique was not great the other day against linebackers. Al-Shaair looked rangier and quicker in 2017 tape, but in both last year's tape and this year's, he struggled with take-on technique and constricting his run fits. His burst and change of direction create opportunities as a delayed rusher and blitzer, but he's too ineffective in coverage. The tape was borderline, but the knee injury might make free agency his best shot.
Blake Cashman led the team in tackles last year. He was really good in pass defense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That combination, I don't care weak side, middle. He played in the middle a little, but Cashman played in the middle a lot as well. With that combination of Harris and Cashman last year was fantastic. it was fantastic, especially at the end of the year when Christian Harris started to come on and really start thumping people in the flat.
Yeah.
And cutting off, quick ins where he would pick a couple of picks like that. I mean, I don't know. I just think that maybe you overthought this thing a little bit. Blake Cashman didn't break the bank. He got a nice payday, but Blake Cashman played great football for you last year.
You know, you have a 3-year deal with Al-Shaair. I mean, one game. This sounds awfully panicky. And it's not to be panicky. It's just, you know, we're just having a discussion and just looking at this. His contract, you know, his cap hit is $4.2 million. That's not bad. It really escalates very, very quickly. Next year, his cap hit is $11.7 million, and they're pretty much going to be on the hook for that one. And then the year after that, it's $13.7 million, and he's likely not going to see that. They've got an out after – they got an out after that after 28, basically, is their out. So I can see – cap hit. I mean, it would cost him $2 million, I think. No, where's the dead cap money? Yeah, dead cap, like, they have to. I mean, he's $6 million of dead money if you were
what
to get
are we
rid
doing?
Of him. Yeah, no, I'm not trying to get – I know. I'm just looking at this. Like,
what are we doing?
I'm trying to build a championship team.
So all that
– and I'm just saying, next year you have to have him. But after that, we're looking at a really good inside linebacker.
One game?
Del,
what happened to all that off-season leadership talk and how communicative
he was? I
was
just reading his draft profile, and it said that he was having trouble taking on guys even in college.
So you tell,
that's what they
said. So you're telling me off-season communication and leadership gets trumped by not being able to take on a block in week one? Are you saying some things matter more? What are you saying?
Well, I do like inside linebackers that take on blocks.
Yeah.
And slip them or shed them. That's what I like.
And, oh, by the way,
he was holding people accountable, remember, in the offseason
at
practice?
He is an accountable guy.
Yeah,
true.
And guess what? He was a step slow on the Doolin touchdown,
too. Oh, no. Yeah. You guys are burying one of our giant acquisitions.
I know.
After
that's,
1 week.
We do sound kind of lame, but I also don't.
But you didn't like him originally.
I didn't love the acquisition. I like the toughness and all that, and D'Amico I trust. You know, he's D'Amico's guy, and D'Amico's got a plan, and that's fine. I roll with D'Amico. But I think the linebacker position needs to get better. I think linebacker position needs to get better, and it looks like the secondary needs a little tune-up.
Do you know the last time the Texans played on Sunday Night Football?
Last time on Sunday night. I'm trying to think of they've had a Kansas City game years ago. They had a Green Bay game. They had Cowboys.
They had a Baltimore game.
They had a Baltimore game where they – was that the Monday night game where they had a pick
six?
That was
the ox in the ditch.
Well, I thought the pick six game was a Monday night game.
Where Matt shot through. I think the ox in the ditch was a Sunday night game.
Okay.
Remember when he was told afterwards?
Who was the last Sunday night game?
Week 13, 2019.
Week 13, 2019, was it Colts?
Patriots.
Ugh, I bet it was a loss.
Yeah. Yeah, of course it was. Of course it was.
2019. Wait, 19? Oh, yeah. God, that was a Deshaun.
Was that an no, that wasn't an Osweiler game.
No. Deshaun was already here.
Oh, yeah, Deshaun. Yeah, you wouldn't get an Osweiler game.
Did we lose to Jacoby Brissett? No, because Colts, I think, had to play with Jacoby Brissett back then.
We got to figure it out. No, it was Brady. It was Brady, 2019. Yeah.
No, that wasn't the playoff game, was it?
New England, week 13.
Oh, week 13.
Texans won it, 28-22.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
That's what they usually do.
It was here.
Yeah. Texans usually beat New England.
Yeah, usually.
Usually they beat New England and Brady.
Yeah. The Texans, we're up 14-3. They were up 21-9. Brady came back, and they won 28-22. Texans win. Thank you, good night. That's what we do. It's just what we do.
Yeah. I thought 2 minutes earlier them losing was what they do. In fact, I think you said that.
No, I never said that.
Yeah, No, that's what they do. I think that's what you said. When Lance said that, they probably lost. You're like, that's what they do. And then you actually, you know, looked it up, and now winning is what they do. So which one is it?
It's what we do. We dominate on Sunday.
I don't care
football.
About what happened in 2019. What are they going to do on Sunday?
I think they're going to have a really good game.
We'll talk about that on the other side. But first, we're going to talk about Zadig Jewelers.
We'll talk about Zadig Jewelers Watch Timber Fest. They are going to, you know, the location is 28,000 square feet. It's two levels, and it's at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. And I got to tell you, Watch Timber Fest is a really cool concept. And they've done these in there. They have so much space. They're like, let's do some neat stuff in here. Things that you would never expect at other jewelers, because other jewelers simply aren't doing this. They took the concept of Oktoberfest and they're bringing it to Watch Timber Fest, where some of the best watches in the world, different novelties, are all going to be in the shop. If you're a fan of watches, if you love to buy, sell, and trade, number one, Zadig should be the only place you go. But you really need to get there on September 21st on Saturday, because from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., they are going to have it's going to be a beer garden. Not only is it going to be a great spot for jewelry of all kind, but it's going to be a beer garden. They're turning this into a beer garden. They're going to have beer on tap. They're going to have giant pretzels. The Bavarian pretzels are going to be there. So you're going to have pretzels. You'll have beer. You can shop. You can have fun. Even if you don't plan on buying it, you just want to look for the first time. You've heard me talk about Zadig. Get in there from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Grab a beer, grab a pretzel, and take a look at all the impressive elements of watches and jewelry that they have. But the watches stand out. People come from all over the state to get unique timepieces that are right there at Zadig, because no one else carries them. 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, it's Zadig Jewelers.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. A long article about CJ this morning on the front page of ESPN. Maybe it's because it's my front page. I don't know. I don't know if it's nationally front page. But DJ Bien-Aimé did a nice piece. And it starts out with the wide receivers talking about a route that they're running against the Colts. And the wide receivers wanted to run it shorter. Bobby Slowick wanted to run it longer. And they all looked to CJ, which one, CJ? And CJ said, sided with the wide receivers, and that's the way they did it.
Smart.
Because, and two things. One, the reason is that they trust CJ, and CJ studies this. CJ is a junkie. He's a football junkie. And that is so cool that we have somebody that cares and plies his trade, much like I'm not putting him in Brady's category, but this is the way that Brady went about it all week long, getting ready for a football game, watching film at night. Not the way David Carr went about it, not the way he did. David Carr went about it a little bit differently, and there's a reason that David Carr has now got his beautiful mustache on TV as opposed to, you know, in the Hall of Fame. But CJ. We've heard the stories. Calls he'll call a wide receiver at 11 o'clock at night, midnight, and say, hey, you're running this. We're running this route. You see this play. We got to do this with this play. And that is so nice to hear. And, oh, by the way, all that, we haven't even talked about it. EJ Speed, who else was talking this offseason?
It was Zaire Franklin and EJ Speed.
Zaire Franklin and EJ Speed.
Although they both have a lot of respect for CJ. I think this is, I don't think it's trumped up. I think they're, you know, I think they legitimately had some good natured trash talk going, because they're the ones, do you remember the podcast where they go,
yeah,
man, that boy CJ Stroud, woo,
talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. They were also like, he's a problem. They were hyped on CJ. But now, you know, they're going back and forth. That's fine. But the Colts don't have enough to. They just don't have enough. They don't have a quarterback that can throw accurate.
Well, those two guys that were talking, they also got beat. Yeah. Zaire Franklin got moved 8 yards down the field by Kenyon Green.
Oh, my God. I watched the offensive game tape. Kenyon Green was fantastic. I am telling you right now, this is the guy that I saw in college. This is what I was expecting. His old coach, Craig, or his old, I shouldn't say coach, his Craig Stump reached out, who Aggies remember him, backup quarterback. I know Stump a little bit from when he was at Tulane. When I was young, he was on that staff with my dad. I think he may have been a graduate assistant. And Stumpy's now a head coach here in this area, at Atascocita, I believe. And he said, "Is that where did Kenyon go? Did he play? What high school is Kenyon Green from? Is he from Atascocita?"
Well, we keep going.
Well,
don't get sidetracked.
Yeah. So anyway, I think Kenyon Green went to Atascocita.
See,
yeah. So that was this, and he said, "Well, this is the first year he's even been healthy." And he's including year one for the Texans. And year one was not good. He didn't play with confidence. And some of that may have been an injury where he just, you know, you lose your confidence if you physically don't think you can hold up. But we know he didn't play last year. We know the first year was not good. If there was an injury, maybe that would account for some of it. I think he got in much better shape. He said that. D'Amico said that. He needed to. He was carrying some bad weight that he really needed to get rid of. But Kenyon Green's run blocking, which is where I thought he, you know, the pass pro is what I was a little worried about coming out of college. The run blocking I thought was a huge plus. I thought he was okay as a rookie run blocking. I thought he was bad in pass protection. The other day he was good in pass protection, and he was great as a run blocker. Do you know how exciting this is to have real Kenyon Green show up?
Well,
and it happens to coincide with an ass-kicking up front where Joe Mixon – slaughters the Colts front, the vaunted Colts front, who's really talented.
Well, one guy who was thought to be a possible weak link, if he turns into a plus player, I don't know if he can sustain what he did the other day, but that's against a good front, okay? If he can continue to play like that, now all of a sudden your offensive line that was average before this season starts,
mm-hmm,
turns into a real, real problem for other teams.
Yeah, and if that happens, I mean, this coincides with the belief that they have a real chance to get to an AFC championship game. And the jump is substantial. I felt like that was a reasonable, even after last year, I thought, based on the way teams make improvements, they've got a young team that's the same way I feel about the Astros. You look at the Astros, and they don't have an ascending team. They have Jose Altuve, they have Justin Verlander, they have Ryan Presley, they have, you know, Josh Hader. They don't have guys who are going to get a lot better. Alex Bregman. You look at the Rockets, a lot of guys who are going to get better. You look at the Texans, a lot of guys who are going to get better. Not Diggs, but Tank Dell should get better. Nico Collins is already getting better. The quarterback will get even better. But that includes Kenyon Green. I don't know if Tytus Howard's going to get better. I don't know if Laremy Tunsil's going to get better. I think Tunsil's good anyway, so it doesn't matter. That's like calling him Altuve. But you look at the Texans, and they have a bunch of guys who should still keep getting better. That's how you can take huge jumps if you pair that with smart off seasons, whether it's free agency or the draft. And honestly, Kenyon Green is like a brand new draft pick, John. He didn't do anything his first year. He didn't play his second year. Getting him this year is almost like you added him in free agency. It's like you added this big time left guard at free agency is what it feels like.
Yep. And a good one, a big time good one. Now it's one game in, so we're not going to get crazy, but boy,
we will on Azeez Al-Shaair.
Well, you know what? It's Overreaction Wednesday.
Yeah, that's true. This is what it is.
It is Overreaction Wednesday. So we got to get and then we cool down as we head into the weekend. And we talk about that Bears game with their injuries and what's going on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, quick, Lance, quick.
Well, let's talk about your ability to – and we're talking about quick assist. It's your ability to move your tickets. And there is nothing worse than realizing that you're going to be going out of town, or maybe someone gets sick in your family, or you just end up having extra tickets and you need a way to get rid of them. And you don't feel like giving them to somebody. You want to try to get your money back for that. Well, quick assist makes ticket resales very, very easy, very hassle free. It lets you focus on enjoying the game or just basically not having to sweat what you're going to do with the tickets. And it's really great because they list your ticket on every marketplace and they will dynamically price it based on the market demand. So it may go up or it may go down based on what's going on in the market. So you don't have to worry about keeping up the market with the market. You may say, boy, what do I list these at? They do all the work for you, and they will move it up or down to try to make sure that you get the best money and it is sold, you know, and it actually ends up getting sold as well. You don't need to go one-on-one, go through every marketplace and list it yourself. Quick Assist does it across all marketplaces. Search Quick Assist. It's Quick, A-S-Y-S-T, to download the app on the App Store or Google Play and make the most of your game day seats. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere.
We're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here. What do you expect out of Caleb Williams this week?
What do we expect?
Yeah, what do you expect out of him?
Some flash plays, pretty much like what we saw with Anthony Richardson. You'll have some plays, you go, ooh. And then you'll just have a whole lot of, he's not really sustaining anything. He's just running around a lot. So, not too worried about him. I think he'll get much better as the season goes on. But we talked about this, John. This is the best time to catch. It's the best time to catch any rookie quarterback. Ask the Ravens with CJ. The best time to catch a rookie quarterback is early in the season. And Caleb, you know, Jaden Daniels didn't scare anybody really, although he did. You had the running yards. It looked better. Bo Nix struggled. You had Caleb really struggled. And then who was there? Well, we'll probably see Penix soon enough if Kirk Cousins keeps playing like that.
Well, I don't expect that,
but,
do you?
I could see it mid-season, potentially. It depends on what happens. I don't think it's the smart move. I would keep playing Cousins.
I don't think so. You had one game, one stinker.
So, you and Kirk I are Cousins doing – we're making well, decisions
you're making
after
decisions
one – we're
about
a one
linebackers.
Game, we're one-game Willie today.
And if Kirk Cousins appears not to be healthy
– it's overreaction Wednesday.
He doesn't – they didn't run any under-center play action, which is something he loves to do. Their speculation is because they don't trust that he can get away from the center.
Oh, that's not great.
Yeah. So if they're not running what he's best at and sticking him in a shotgun, maybe Kirk Cousins isn't healthy enough to run an offense. Healthy enough to take a snap but not run the offense the way he would like. So I would look for that. Maybe not necessarily about overall performance, but if there are hindrances to get him to play the way he wants, then Penix may have to play.
He needs that boot action offense. Getting back to Caleb Williams, though, I think, Caleb, you just want to keep him from hurting you with his – feet too much. He doesn't look to do that a whole lot, believe it or not. While he can get away, he likes to get away and then look down the field. But Roma Dunze is hurt, so one of those targets, those big targets that can win those jump balls, he's got that same kind of Alec Pierce stuff where he's got size, leaping, and pretty good speed. He will not be available, it doesn't look like, for the Bears. So,
well,
a little different.
Dunze?
Yeah, Odunze's got a sprain. Do they think he's going to play?
Yeah, they're not sure.
Yeah, Eberflus won't rule him out, but he does have an MCL sprain.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see him playing with an MCL sprain.
You could
ruin him for the rest of the that wouldn't make sense. He's not playing.
Speaking of moving around, Dell, we got some sound from CJ, as a matter of fact. And does CJ have any weaknesses? Is there any? According to him, he does. Which was a little surprising. And I think CJ is pretty good. Listen, somebody brought
up. Why is that surprising to you that a guy who is very perceptive and very self-aware recognizes areas of improvement?
Well,
that's good. I think that's good.
I think it's great. He feels like here's what he feels like where he needs to get better.
I think when we stay true to that, the sky is the limit when it comes to scrambling because I don't know if y'all noticed, but I'll try to run a little more. Joe challenged me to see how athletic I was, so I felt like I got loose a couple times. But I think that's another thing I can get better at, is just scrambling. And when they play good on the back end, being able to use my feet.
Okay. All right, CJ. That was a little bit better. I think he's fine.
Who's
We've
Joe?
Seen CJ.
Who's Joe? Joe challenged me, not
Joe Mixon?
Yeah, probably Joe Mixon, unless that's a nickname for Gerard Johnson. He calls him Joe, but It would have to – I guess it would be Joe Mixon. I was just curious who Joe was who challenged him. Don't do what Mixon tells you. Just don't – CJ, don't listen to running backs tell you how to play quarterback. He challenged me to run more. That is an area that he's not great at, is scrambling and running. But you know what? The biggest play – one of the biggest plays he made was when he rolled out on third down and extended, when he just rolled and made that made that throw. Like, man, that's what made him look – special potentially when he lost to Georgia but had that great game, is he actually got out of the pocket a little bit more.
You know what, CJ? You scrambled just fine.
Yeah, keep doing you.
Just do what be you, okay? And I love your humility. All right, you're not Tom Brady or Peyton Manning trying to scramble out there. That's embarrassing. You're good. Don't worry. You're fine just the way you're doing it. Did you see the number of touchdown passes this week, in week one?
Yeah, 34. It's the lowest. There was 37 last year.
It keeps getting lower.
It was 61 the year before. It was 57, 60. What? Yeah, it's a.
I just read an article about how this week one now, the poor play, it's just the fourth preseason game. I mean, there's so many kinks to work out. It's so much. And nobody's playing in the preseason.
Right.
Nobody's. I mean,
right, no one's seeing game action.
The total number of snaps by guys now in the preseason is got to be the least of first string. Right, it's got to be the least ever.
You're right. You think about it, and whether they're directly tied, correlated or not, the last 2 years, which have been sub 40 touchdown passes in week one, it's been 37 and 34. That's the first 2 years that we've seen 17-game schedule, which meant three preseason games, and we have seen a steady reduction in starters playing in the preseason, or certainly starting snaps, and in some cases starters playing it on. Hell, for the Texans, they had guys who just barely even suited up at all during camp. I guess maybe – I mean, I'm not talking quarterback, obviously. I'm talking about, running back and left tackle, who both played well. But I – Maybe that is tied together. Some of it may also be an influx of rookie quarterbacks. Some of it may be that defenses have caught up and are taking some offensive concepts away. Think about this. Remember, John, it wasn't that long ago that college football, I mean, the scores were just outlandish. I mean, we were seeing the Big 12. The joke was, look, no one can stop anyone in the SEC now other than Alabama or Georgia. These high-flying scores in the SEC, the Big 12 was like, 44 to 41 on a regular basis, these scores. Do you look at college scoreboards across the – over the last 3 years or so, the scores have come way, way down, which obviously I recognize with some of the totals coming way down, is college football, I think, has figured out – defense coordinators have figured out some of the concepts that gave them problems – and have taken them away. We're not seeing these outlets. I mean, yeah, you'll have some games here and there, but scoring has come back down to earth in college football. It's come back down to earth a little bit in pro football as well as it pertains to the passing game. We are not seeing – now, we also don't have Drew Brees. We don't have Tom Brady. We don't have – we got a lot more rookie quarterbacks and young quarterbacks who are playing right now. Derek Carr still roams the earth, although he did have, three touchdown passes. Baker Mayfield had four. But I don't know. It's just I don't know if there's a correlation to the preseason stuff or not, but I know that it's – I mean, something's going on.
Well, listen, you would think with how much money this position pays, with how guys now are coming up through the ranks – and with 7-on-7 football, with how much you throw and you depend on your quarterback in college now, you would think that the league would be loaded with great quarterback play. And it's just not the case. It keeps getting – I'm looking at – well, Bryce Young was supposed to be great. He's been a disaster. You're starting Malik Willis this week in Green Bay. You're starting Sam Darnold in Minnesota. Deshaun Watson is a mess. He's a total disaster right now, and you're starting him. You're starting Justin Fields in Pittsburgh. rookies, Bo Nix and Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it just seems like, what the hell happened? Why is this not better? It just is with the money, with another raise in pay that they got this past week.
Well, just because you pay them more doesn't mean guys are going to play better.
Let's not remove the Joe Burrow erasure.
Oh,
Joe Burrow.
Sucked.
What is going
awful.
On?
Awful.
What
awful.
His pumpkin, he's turned back into the pumpkin.
Oh, you're crushing it.
He went with Eminem hair. He's doing everything he can. He's Joe Shiesty's this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, man, I mean, he's Fashion Week with his back blown out.
That's not the phrase.
Well, it wasn't a good look for him. I can tell you, it's hurting John's heart.
The back cutout.
Oh, back cutout.
Not blown out.
Yeah. Well. And I know it's hurting your heart, John, to see him this.
He's not the same guy. He's not the same. This is
Eminem. Hollywood Joe.
This is Hollywood Joe. And he's not the same guy. All right.
It's not Midwest hardworking blue collar Joe.
Right.
Who gets hit in the face by UCF or USF or whatever and gets up and keeps playing and then the next year goes on to throw 60 touchdowns. It's not that Joe.
When he goes back to the symphony, then he's my Joe. Okay.
Wait, what?
That's not blue collar Joe.
No, that's
blue. Symphony's not blue. Symphony with wine is not blue collar. That's who he is now. No, that's who he is now.
No, he's not that.
By the way, does Wendy know that New Iberia is going to get hit by a hurricane?
I know. I feel bad for Louisiana, but I'm glad it's well
don't say don't say you're glad.
Well, no, I'm not glad.
You can say I'm glad we're not getting hit by a hurricane. That's okay.
You can say he's fortunate. Fortunate that it's not happening in Houston.
In Houston, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel bad for them. No, I'm not glad that anybody's getting it. I'm just glad it's not coming.
L.A. Johnny,
yeah,
losing all feeling for the little people.
Yeah, earthquake and mudslide and forest fires. You'll be careful now. You're gonna have people throwing stuff at you.
Listen, Louisiana catches it every year.
Louisiana's turned into complete hurricane state. Alley.
Oh my God, is it ever? What a shame for them. But
it's a one right now, I think.
We didn't catch it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. We? You mean in L.A.?
No. Well,
you were never
too.
In any danger.
I'm Houston.
To be fair, you were in a symphony with wine. Stop it.
You you were at a Dodger game the night before.
Yeah,
you were
you're
never
taking
in any
pictures
danger.
I was at the Cubs game.
No, you're a White Sox.
If it's at the Dodger,
if
it's at Dodger Stadium, it's a Dodger game.
I was at the Cubs game. I was rooting for the Cubs.
He was like, go Dodgers. Why isn't there a picture of you with your hat on?
Okay,
with
listen.
The
Dodger only time I've ever
mouth.
Rooted for the Cubs in my life was the other night.
You got that Dodger
a
glizzy.
Dodger glizzy in your mouth?
Yeah, Dodger dog. Dodger glizzy in
you
your mouth.
You got a Dodger
oh,
glizzy?
Oh, by the way, overrated.
Well, they're
overrated.
Just hot dogs.
Yeah.
It's just a hot dog. It's just a hot dog. You know what? And they don't, and here's the thing that pissed me off about most. No Coors Lights out at the park. I mean, what a ridiculous ballpark. At Minute Maid, you can find Coors Lights. That's right. Yeah, you can drink cold, clean, crisp, refreshing at Minute Maid. That's my kind of park. Not a stupid where you got your main thing that you go there for is a hot dog. No, I go for Coors Light. All right, that's what I go for. And you don't even have them? You're a ridiculous ballpark, Dodger Stadium. Ridiculous. Okay? If you want people to take you seriously, you got to have Coors Light. If you are somebody who sells alcohol at your place, like I told Lashane for years, bring it, and he, you know what Shane does? He goes, gets me Coors Lights. That's what he does, because he knows that's cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. But dumbass won't carry it. That's just stupid not to carry Coors Light all the time to help the people. If you're about the people, then you're drinking cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Keep Texas chill. Let's go, baby. Throw down some Coors Lights. Let's do it this weekend while we're watching football.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.